KSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying very firmly on the surface of the planet Earth with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, because we're looking at commercial space. This is Rocket Lab. And the east coast of the United States, Wallops Island, and NASA approving a critical step going forward with launches from Wallops Island. Bob, what is flight termination software? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, Rocket Lab, which launches out of New Zealand, it's an American company. It's a small sat rocket company. They launch small CubeSats and so forth, and they've been operational now for about 3 years. Rocket Lab has been trying to get approval to launch rockets. It's an Electron rocket from Virginia at Wallops Island, the Mid-Atlantic spaceport. And they were ready to do this a year and a half ago. They were ready to launch. They wanted to launch, but they have not been able to get approval of the flight termination software. Now, you know, when they launch a rocket in the past, there is range officers standing by with their finger on the button. And if that rocket starts to go out of control, they can destroy it at any point. So it won't fly into populated areas. Rocket Lab has been using its own flight termination software down in New Zealand for years, and very successfully. It's actually terminated a few launches because they had problems with the rocket. And SpaceX has introduced its own flight termination software, which is different. It's not a human being sitting with their finger on the button. It's actually software that tracks the path of the rocket. And if it deviates from that path beyond certain margins, it will then automatically blow the rocket up. The idea, of course, is to simplify things, reduce the protective area around rockets so more rockets can launch more frequently. NASA has been trying to develop its own flight termination software now for years. Apparently, this is why Rocket Lab was not able to launch from Wallops Island last year. The story had been that they were waiting for approval of their flight termination software. No, it now turns out they were waiting for NASA to approve its own flight termination software. And finally, this week, NASA released that new software to the aerospace industry so that companies like Rocket Lab can test it and figure out how to use it in conjunction with their own rockets. NASA was a year and a half behind schedule, behind with this, no question of it, and it's pretty disgraceful it takes them so long. It literally impacted Rocket Lab. They could not launch a whole bunch of planned rocket launches from Wallops Island because this sat unready. And I expect Rocket Lab now to move forward pretty quickly, and they should do their first launches from Wallops Island in the next few months, John.
Space Force, I was under the impression that it was going to be closed down, but it has a really good idea. What is it, Bob?
Well, when space, military space activities were controlled by the Air Force, the Air Force's interests were not really space related, so you couldn't get new innovative ideas through their bureaucracy very easily. That was one of the reasons they created the Space Force, because the Space Force would be focused on space needs and how to do it better. And one of the things that they've been trying to do in the military for years, and the Air Force resisted, was to stop building the satellites and the material within the Pentagon, but instead hire private enterprise to do it instead. This is the whole idea behind my policy paper, Capitalism in Space. The government should be a customer. It shouldn't be the designer. And so the Space Force has now announced that they want desperately capability to remove space junk from orbit. I think the Russian anti-satellite test that produced thousands of pieces of debris that not only threatens ISS, but a lot of military satellites, that really brought this home to the Space Force. So they've announced a program where they're asking private companies to submit proposals for ways to rendezvous with, dock, and service pieces of space junk. And that could include either repairing it, repositioning it, refueling it, deorbiting it, reusing it or recycling. In other words, just take it from a junk status and either get it out of there or make it useful again. And they've asked the private enterprise to do this. And there are at least two companies that are already flying robotic satellites that are doing this exact kind of thing. Northrop Grumman has its mission extension vehicle, and Astroscale's done some tests already about how to remove space junk. And so these companies are going to bid, and the military is almost certainly going to get this stuff fast and at a lower cost with this decision, John.
It's a terrific idea, Bob, for making money.
I'm
going to guess there are going to be a lot of startups here who want to get into this business. This is waste management, and it's endless. And can you send the bills to the states that are associated with the space junk, or is it going to be all just clean up everything?
Well, that's an interesting question. According to the Outer Space Treaty, junk by Russia belongs to Russia. But I will tell you now that nobody is going to object if a piece of junk is suddenly taken control of. Now, of course, you can see the military capabilities here that have nothing to do with space junk, and we won't get into that. That gets into another area. But it's a capability that allows the removal of space junk. I don't think any nation worldwide would object if a piece of junk is removed by this. They might want to have some say in what's done with it, but it's going to be removed.
Can we build them, Bob? Can we build China and Russia for the space junk they've got?
Oh, I doubt, no. Yeah, you can build them as much as you want. They'll tell you the check's in the mail, you know. Okay. They don't have to pay anything.
All right, we're off to, this is a NASA story, and I want to approach this judiciously. The SLS, it is delayed, and it is expensive. Why and how are the new revelations? Bob, the delay, what do you expect for SLS's launch?
Well, this is not so much a new revelation, John. We had talked about this a few weeks ago, and I posted this on Behind the Black. The core stage of SLS, that's like the first stage with boosters on either side. That core stage uses former shuttle engines. And one of the engine controllers in one of those engines failed during testing about a month or two ago. And so they were trying to figure out what to do, and they finally decided they had to replace that engine controller. They had already made this decision and announced it, and so we expected them to have delays because of it. Well, the engineers have now successfully replaced that engine controller, and without question now, they have confirmed that the launch of SLS is not going to happen in February as it is presently scheduled. It's going to almost, because in February, the best they're going to be able to do is have a roll out to the launch pad and a full dress rehearsal countdown to T-minus zero and then stop. And then they'll roll the rocket back into the vehicle assembly building to do more testing and preparation for the launch. So the earliest this could possibly launch now, I think at this point, is maybe April, but that's almost impossible. It's more likely going to happen sometime in the summer at this moment, which, of course, makes a race between Starship and SLS about which will get to orbit first even more interesting right now, John.
Are Starship and SLS equivalents, Bob? How do you compare the two?
They are, in terms of payload to orbit, they are considered heavy lift rockets. That's the class of rocket that launches into orbit approximately 100 tons. So they are equivalent. In that respect, they are equivalent in no other respect because Starship is planned to be reusable and SLS is one-time use and throw it away.
We move to a story that Bob is very careful to explicate because this is important. This has to do with the ability of a consumer of the internet, such as myself, to have confidence that it will remain always on. I have internet service here in rural America through a provider, but it's landlines. It's a line from the house to the wires to the service provider. Things go wrong in a forest. Elon Musk and SpaceX, Starlink, are offering an alternative. I've sent my money in. I'm waiting like a lot of other people. Not everyone sees the same way we do. And the story Bob has is about India. What's happened, Bob?
Well, SpaceX, Starlink is designed initially, at least, to mostly help rural areas or high latitude areas that are not well served by landlines, as you were mentioning. The rural areas, they tend to have poor high-speed internet service. And so an orbital system can provide that globally very quickly. And SpaceX has been rolling out and taking rolling out operations, better data operations in mostly high latitude or rural areas. And last year they started to offer deposits for Starlink in India, much like you've done, John. You give them $99 and you're basically on a waiting list now. When, if they begin operations in your area, you'll have a chance to get a package and start using it. They started to sell these deposits, pre-orders in India, but they did not fill out the proper regulatory permits for doing this. They did not follow the law in India. And the Indian government came in and started to tell them, you've got to stop. And it appears that the guy who was in charge of Starlink India ignored those orders. He did not. Not only didn't he get the proper permissions, he ignored the November 26 order from the government to cease taking pre-orders. So he has now been pushed out, and SpaceX is now offering full refunds. Is going to issue full refunds to all the people who got pre-orders, and it's reviewing the legal situation because it has to try to figure out how to get legal permission to do this in India. The status is unclear. What will happen? And there's no timeline whether they'll resume in India. The protest by the government, part of this has to do with, you know, Indian competition. Private enterprise in India sees Starlink as a threat, and they probably pull strings from the government to push this back. Partly that's part of the reason.
New Mexico, Spaceport America. Can you do it quickly, Bob?
Yes, I can. Spaceport America was created back in the early aughts as a response to the many promises of Richard Branson that Virgin Galactic was going to, just a year or two, would be flying hundreds of tourist space flights, suborbital space flights. And Spaceport America in New Mexico was put together by the state government, spending a lot of money because they anticipated this would bring a lot of business to their state. Well, instead, it's brought them no business because Richard Branson and Virgin Galactic is a failure. And it also resulted in a lot of corruption. And they've had this happen repeatedly now. There's a new scandal, has to do with the governor, and a whistleblower accusing the governor of taking bribes and breaking the law, as well as the CEO of Spaceport America doing similar things. Of course, it hasn't been settled, but this is just part of the course for everything related to Virgin Galactic.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next with that brave little flying toaster on the surface of Mars. I'm John Battle.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.